What a beautiful day, a great opportunity to come together and to sing these songs of praise to our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and to open His Word, to learn from it. And we're going to be talking this morning about change. All of us, every single one of us, go through changes in life. Sometimes we have that forced upon us, and we have to make some changes. When it comes to serving God, though, none of us are forced to serve Him. And we have to make that decision to change, to serve Him ourselves. Sadly, though, sometimes people go the other direction. Instead of choosing to serve the Lord, even though they may have been faithful in time past, they choose to change for the worse. And instead of following God's way, they choose to go their own way. My way or God's way? I'll tell you, friend, if you are not today in God's way, you need to change. If you are today living for God, then you don't need to change. You just need to keep going in the direction that you're going. There are some things that need to be changed. Now, also let me say this in regard to this particular study this morning. I have noticed from personal observance, the tendency by many, especially those who are younger, to be pushing for change in church. They're coming out of places of higher learning, including Florida College, with a desire, or it seems like even an agenda, to make wholesale changes in the church. There are some things that need to be changed, but friend, changing God's pattern and God's way and God's church doesn't need to be changed. It's not one of those things that need changing. Some things can be changed without serious repercussions. But when it comes to the things of God, we need to keep our hands off of those things. The Word of God does not need to be changed. And in fact, it cannot be changed. Now, I understand, from one perspective, we can twist it, we can change it, we can alter it. But in reality, we cannot change God's Word. His Word will continue no matter how we treat it, no matter what we do with it. God's Word, God's truth, will never change. What He says is right is always right. What He says is wrong will always be wrong, no matter what our view of those things are. We can't change that. God's way cannot be improved upon. Much that is going on today in the religious world, if you look around, we see a lot of different groups who have gotten so far away from Scripture. I mean, they're not even... It's just a country club, just a social club, just a place for people to go to be entertained on Sunday morning. It's a concert. Things have gotten so far away from God's Word. But how did all of those changes take place? Well, just one step at a time. It began with a small step away from God's Word. Brethren in the church have done this. They have taken one step off here, and then the next thing you know, they take another, and then another, and then another, and each step gets a little further, and a little further downhill, and further away from any resemblance to where they started. God's way cannot be improved upon. Most of the changes that take place are made because we think we have come up with a better way. Friend, there is no better way than God's way. If it ain't broke, we've heard the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, some people have the mindset that it's broke even though it's not, and they do everything they can to fix it when it isn't broke. And what do they wind up doing? They break it. If it ain't broke, fix it till it is. That's what happens when we put our hands on the things of God. Our way or God's way? I want to tell you, my friend, unless it is God's way, it is the wrong way. And when you look back in history, you see people who have tried to do things their way instead of God's way. And what has always been the result, what has always been the consequences of doing those things their own way instead of following God's prescribed plan or pattern? You go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, we see that Cain offered a sacrifice. Abel, his brother, also offered a sacrifice, the best of the flock. But Cain offered from his field. Now, God did not respect Cain's offering, but He did respect Abel's offering. Why? Because Abraham's offering was of faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Cain's offering was not of faith. That is, it was not of what God said. It matters because God rejected his offering. Because Cain did what he wanted to do instead of what God said. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Sons of Aaron, priests of God, they burnt incense to the Lord one day, but they did something that was not what the Lord commanded. They did what the Lord had not commanded. They did not follow the Lord's prescribed way. A simple thing such as getting fire, a source of the fire that they used to burn incense, was in fact a dishonoring act toward God. They got fire from where God had not commanded them to burn this incense. And God struck them dead. You have Moses in Numbers chapter 20. God told Moses to speak to a rock to bring out water. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 through 24, we have the story. God told Moses to speak to the rock. Well, Moses, a little angry at the people, he went to the rock and he had done what he had done previously, in fact, been told to do. Strike the rock. But this time God said, speak to it. So Moses, being a little angry, perturbed with the people, struck the rock and spoke to the rock. And he was not allowed to enter into the land of promise because he did not do it as God prescribed. King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 13. Samuel had told Saul to wait until he arrived so that they could offer a sacrifice before a battle. But Saul got a little antsy because Samuel, he thought, was running behind schedule. And he was getting scared because he knew that the camp of the Philistines, they were growing restless, they were about to attack, and so he wanted to hurry up and offer the sacrifice. Well, that was not according to God's prescribed manner. In chapter 15, God told Saul to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Saul went down and did most of what God said. He killed everybody except for one person. And he destroyed all that was bad, but he brought back the flocks, the herds of the people, and brought back the king. Saul did not do what God prescribed, and the kingdom was taken away from Saul. David, Zotskar, in 1 Chronicles chapters 13 and 15, as we talked about a little bit this morning in our Bible study, David's Zotskar, he had made this new Zotskar for the purpose of transporting the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. What's wrong with that? It seems to me like David was really trying to give God the glory and God the honor. I mean, he made this cart special to transport the ark. He thought it would be a better way. Let the oxen pull it. Instead of having someone carry it. They put it on the ox cart, and a man lost his life because of it. In fact, in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, David says, "The Lord broke out against us." Why? Because they did not consider the proper order. The sons of Kohath were to carry the ark according to the law of God. And they had not consulted the proper order. It does matter. Whether what we do is our way or God's way. Jeroboam, in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33, our way or God's way. Jeroboam is another great example of this. You have Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26. You have Ananias and Sapphira as another example, an example in the New Testament. Now, what they did as far as giving funds or properties, land, money, they had sold their land and they had brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, but they had kept back part of it. Peter says that would have been all right. They hadn't lied about it. You know what? It matters whether we obey God or not. Whether we're honest and sincere or not. Whether we do the things that we are supposed to do before God. So, with that in mind, let's think. Those who live according to God's way, that's fine. But listen, what if you're not? Friend, you need to change. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 27, Proverbs 3 and verse 7, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, all of those passages talk and they give us, provide for us an extremely important lesson. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, and is not a man that walks to direct his own steps. If I am not walking according to God's way, I need to change. And I need to stop walking according to my own way, and I need to walk according to God's way. Because the way, my way, is not in me to determine. I cannot decide what the best way is in and of myself apart from God and His revelation. I need to submit humbly to what God says. And I need to realize that I don't have the capability of guiding myself apart from God's will. I need God. I cannot come up with my own way. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Now, it may seem right, but it feels so right. Preacher, I feel so good where I am. I've got this feeling. I just know that I'm saved. I know that I'm right. And then you try to tell that very person, but look, this is what God says, and you haven't done that. You're not doing what God says in your life. But they say, I feel saved. Let me ask you, I want you to be honest. That person may feel saved, but if they're not doing what God says, are they? Are they right with God? Are they serving God if they're not doing what He says? even though they may feel like they are. My friend, just because I think, that's what the proverb writer is saying here, it may seem right. I may be 100% convinced that it is right. But if it contradicts what God says, it's wrong. And for me to follow what seems right to me, and I continue on that course, what does the writer say my end will be? In Psalm 37 verse 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Depart from evil. My friend, if you are in evil, practicing evil, serving evil, a slave to evil, you need to change. Depart from evil and do good. It's not just that you stop doing what's wrong. You now start doing what's right. You know what this is? There's one word for it that we see a lot in the Bible. It's called repentance. That's what it is. Repentance. We stop doing what's wrong and we start doing what's right. Now, if we stop doing what's wrong and we do what's right, as God says, then we will live forevermore. In Proverbs 3 and verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. I need to consider God's Word, God's will, what God says in every choice and every action that I take. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. You acknowledge Him. You turn to the Word of God and you see what He says about this particular thing. And then follow it. And He's going to direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It does matter. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, the first part of this verse, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Listen, what God says is going to stand. What God says is right will always be right. What God says is wrong will always be wrong. The solid foundation that God has set forth for His people, His Word, as the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, we are built upon what God says. There is the foundation. And my friend, listen, the Lord knows those who are truly walking according to His will or not. The Lord knows. And it is His will that will judge us. We need to realize that we must depart from iniquity. If we're living in sin and lawlessness, if we're not following the way of God, then we need to change. We need to turn away from our sin and serve the Lord. Now, those living according to God's way do not need to change. Now, I'm going to go back to something I said at the beginning of the study. Those who are living according to God's way do not need to change. Listen, if we're doing what God says, why would we want to? Why is it that some brethren, they just feel compelled to change the things of God? I have discussed with brethren when to partake of the Lord's Supper. I have actually had several argue with me that we could partake it on Thursday night if we wanted to. Where did that come from? Is that what God said? Those living according to God's way do not need to change. Brethren have tried all kinds of things or come up with all kinds of things to change. Now, again, change within what God says. Do it as long as we're doing what God says, that's fine. But it's like people want to change just for the sake of change. And if we're going to try to change away from what God says, we need to stop. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. and hewing themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I want you to think about what the Lord is saying here. They have done two evils. Okay? They have forsaken the Lord. How? Well, they left God's way. They turned away from that. To whose way? Their own way. They have hewn for themselves these cisterns, broken cisterns. They can't hold no water. They cannot save. And they've forsaken the God who can. When we follow God's Word, we are walking, living by that which will give life. When we walk by our own ways, we are walking by that which can only and will only lead to death. It does matter. And if we are currently in God's way, why would we forsake Him? But for my people have committed two evils. They had forsaken me. And it just seems to continually repeat throughout history. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." No matter what other people think about it or say about it, as long as I'm serving the Lord, I know that He will reward me. These people complaining about the things that I do in service to God, they're not going to reward me. I'm not going to have to answer to them on the day of judgment. I'm going to have to answer to the Lord. Colossians 1 and verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Listen, we must stay grounded and steadfast in what? The hope of the gospel, that which has been preached by the apostles. Apostolic authority. We need to always stand upon a "thus saith the Lord" for all we do. And don't be moved away from that. We live in a day and time in which people are saying, "We don't need authority for what we do." Yes, we do. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." The potential, the possibility of being led away is there. And that's why he says, "You know this beforehand." Verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Let us know what the Lord has said so we will not be led away from what He has said. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." Oh, there's a dirty word for you. The word tradition. Now, friend, if we are walking in the traditions of men, we need to change. We need to turn away from those things. But if we're walking in the traditions laid down by the apostles, if we are following the teachings of God, the traditions that we find there, let us never relinquish them. Tradition is not bad in and of itself. It depends on who the source of that tradition is. The Scriptures warn us over and over again about the danger of departing from God. We see in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 that the apostle there makes clear that we are not to be deceived and led away. We need to be careful lest we be led away to sin or the unbelief, departing from the living God. It's a real threat. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "The Spirit speaks expressly that there will be a falling away." People have fallen away. People have turned their back on God and forsaken God. Just like the Jews did, people today have as well. If you go back to the book of Judges in chapter 2, and we see that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Bill read that earlier. But what happened in one generation? One generation, the people did not know the Lord nor walk in His ways. They began to walk in their own ways. 400 years later, the Scripture says, both in Judges 17:5 and Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The people did what was right, but not in the eyes of the Lord. They did what was right in their own eyes. Were they right or were they wrong? Were they blessed or were they punished? You know what? You go another 400 years into the future from that point, and we see in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected." My friend, today God still speaks. God has still revealed His Word. But why is it that people still continue, even though they have been taught it? Even though they have grown up even maybe in a home where they were taught the truth, they have been brought to services and they heard the truth, but then they turn away from it. You know, when you think about apostasy, turning away from the Lord, departing from the Lord, a person is not going to leave the Lord until he has a change of attitude. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul there talks about the need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Departure from God, there has to be another change that takes place in one's mind. In order to adhere to God, become a child of God, you have to change your mind from the worldly mindset to a godly mindset. But can a godly mindset then be turned back to a worldly mindset? We've seen it happen over and over. Why is it that people, instead of guarding their hearts, as Proverbs 4:23 instructs us to do, instead of instructing and guiding our heart, why is it that people turn away from God and allow their hearts to become apostate? Our attitude. If you'll turn over to Romans chapter 1. No, in fact, this is a real good passage to see exactly what I'm trying to say. Beginning in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God." You see, their attitude towards God had to change. "Nor were thankful." Their attitude towards the things that God had blessed them with had changed. "But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Why? Because they had turned their eyes from God's Word and their hearts from God's Word to their own ways. professing to be wise, they became fools. People who think that they're smarter than God, what are they really? And so they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now, when we begin to think that we know more than God, and that our ways are better than His ways, we have certainly made ourselves into a fool. It matters. What about our attitude? What is our attitude towards the Word of God? And departure from God is fueled by a changing conviction. Of course, if I begin to doubt God's Word, or if I just have the concept that I can just pick what I want and leave what I don't, then how's that going to affect my faith and what I believe? And if I begin to believe that God will accept me no matter what I do, we are warned over and over again about the sin of unbelief and departing from the living God, Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Or departure and departure from God always results in a change of application of Scripture. Depending on how far away from the truth you are, that is going to determine how many Scriptures you have to pervert. I mean, an atheist has to pervert a whole lot more than, let's say, a Baptist would. But you know what? The Baptist church perverts a lot of Scripture to hold what they believe. Departure from God results in a change in the application of Scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Peter there says, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction." They feel that they have the liberty to twist God's Word to support whatever it is that they say. Just like those folks back in Romans chapter 1, they suppressed the truth. They corrupted it in their own hearts. The danger of apostasy faced the early church. Paul warned them in Acts 20, in verses 29 to 32, that after his departure there would be those who would arise, even from among them, wolves, not sparing the flock. Apostasy occurred. In fact, we can see the beginnings of it in the New Testament. Some of the errors that the Apostle Paul dealt with in the book of Colossians, for example, in the book of Galatians, we see Jewish brethren, they begin to turn back to Judaism. We see the beginning of Gnosticism, and by the time you get to the book of 1 John, you have the idea of Gnosticism being focused upon and being exposed as error. Apostasy was already in the works. You think about the church at Corinth. I mean, they had all kinds of problems. Apostasy has occurred throughout history. Now, here's the real question. We're getting back to it. Are we going to follow God's way? Or are we going to follow our own way? People in the past, someone comes along and says, "I think that, you know what, mechanical instruments of music would be fine in worship." And there's a struggle that goes on for a while, but finally they convince enough people that people begin to go along with them. And then before you knew it, back in the early 19th century, the Christian church was born. You had congregations worshiping with mechanical instrumental music. You know what? One of the things that surprises folks today, you're talking to them, let's say, about mechanical instruments and music, and they think that we're the odd folks because we don't use mechanical instruments and music. My friend, did you know that just a couple of hundred years ago, they would have been considered as the really odd folks because most everyone only sang a cappella? Did you know that all the reformers were staunchly against mechanical instrumental music? I mean, that doesn't give us... that's not the authoritative word. The New Testament is. But institutionalism and the social gospel came along in the 20th century. And, you know, we see again the continued thing going on and on. This is a quote. It says, "The Spirit of God is still moving and acting in the church today, and we must be more open to it. The result will be exhilarating changes in the worship and mission of the church. It has been a mistake to emphasize the old past because we need to be open to change. The church has got to change. If it doesn't change, my kids are not going to stay with it. I'm probably not going to stay with it. Mine was the last generation that would tolerate indoctrination." That is a quote from Rubel Shelley. The church in the 90s, the challenge of change. A gospel preacher in the churches of Christ. And there are many others just like him who believe that we have to change. Forget when he says, it has been a mistake to emphasize the old past. My friend, what do you think about that statement? What do you think about that? Whose path will he then follow if he's not going to follow the old path? So we see all kinds of things popping up today, emphasis of style over substance, preaching less Bible. And in fact, most people don't hear many Bible studies anymore proclaimed. The emphasis of biblical authority, we don't need the old past. We don't need those. And then they become critical of those who contend earnestly for the faith, which we're told to do, by the way, Jude 1 verse 3. And following the apostolic tradition, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, they're critical of that. And those who are contending for the faith, they are arrogant and self-righteous and all of that. Whereas they equate the compromising spirit with humility. Those who stay steadfast to the Word of God, I mean, there's pressure on us to change, to move away from that hope, that steadfast hope that we have in the gospel, to follow the things that are more popular. Compromise is the plea. Let us compromise. We're told we can't understand the Bible alike. We're told that the church, the way it is organized, isn't working. And we're told that the worship of the New Testament, what we've been doing, it doesn't work. And we need to become more casual and more subjective in all that we do. My friend, listen, we need to stay grounded upon what we read about in the New Testament. We need to follow the New Testament, the pattern that we find there, nothing else. The ways of men will always be contrary to the ways of God. What are we going to follow? When it comes to the plan of salvation, we hear people today saying, we need to change. We need to stop preaching about baptism. We need to stop preaching about the need to obey the Lord. Let's preach more about grace. Well, I'm up for preaching about grace, but we need to understand what grace is. I'm up for preaching about faith, but we need to understand what faith is. We need to realize that the only way that we can, by faith, receive the grace of God is to do what God says. Ask those men that we listed at the beginning of the study. My friend, one church is not as good as another. There is not a single church that man has brought into existence that's worth anything at all. The only church that has any value whatsoever is the church that was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And there can be no compromise when it comes to the truth. So, what are we going to do? Are we going to measure what we've done
measure what we will do by what we have done, or will we move further and further away from God and then set our course completely on apostasy instead of measuring what we do by what God says, that firm, solid foundation. Man's way emphasizes self, emphasizes feelings, emphasizes rationalization. God's way, authority. The authority of God. What does God say? Absolute truth. What does God say? The need for obedience. What does God say? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the reality of sin. Sin is the transgression of law. When we do not follow God's way, we sin. God's way or our way? It does matter. What is your attitude towards the truth, the Scriptures? Can we, like David, say, "Oh, how love I thy law, it's my meditation all the day"? Will we believe and stand upon what God teaches in His Word? Will we turn to the old paths? Hold to the old paths? Will we listen? As Jeremiah says, by inspiration, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk therein, and you will find rest to your soul." Or will you be like those Israelites that say, "No, we will not walk therein"? Will we always seek to make the proper applications of Scripture? Now, let's seek for truth. What is the truth? Let us always examine the Scripture and be diligent to show ourselves approved unto the Lord, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Let us continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Let us also abide in the doctrine of Christ, because as John says, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. It's important. Let us not follow men. Let us not decide our own way. Let us turn to the Lord's way and do what He says. Going back to Deuteronomy, or back to the children of Israel, Moses told them at the very beginning in Deuteronomy chapters 29 and 30. In fact, chapter 30, verses 15 through 19, he says, "I have set before you life and death. Choose life." And that's exactly what God has done for us. He set before us life and death. Choose life. My friend, if you are living today by your own way, and you're following your own path, the way that you're going will lead to death. Turn to the Lord's way. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Do you believe that He is the Christ? Are you willing to submit to Him as Lord? Why not repent? Turn away from your ways and turn to the Lord's way. Follow Him. And be buried with Him in baptism this morning, for the remission of your sins. And if you've once obeyed the gospel, but you've turned away, you've been following the paths of men, repent. Get back on the right track, on the right path, the road that leads to everlasting life. If we can help you in any way in your obedience to the gospel, won't you go? Stand aside.